Well, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. It is a great honor to be called father. It is a great honor because this honor is given to us from God, and God himself gives this honor to all the fathers. We found that in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. As fathers, we are moral teachers. We teach through words and modeling through our actions. After I graduated from law school in 1986, the monk community had been calling me to go and speak on the issues of parenting. There's usually two issues that they want me to talk about in those days. Number one, how did your father teach you to be the man that you are? The second question that they often asked was, what does American law say about parenting? The answers that I gave to them are also answers that are good for us today, and that is my father stumbled to teach us how to live life. And with regard to American law, we cannot trust the law to keep your family together. The law will do what it's supposed to do, and if you're hurting one another, they want to separate you so that you don't get hurt. That's practically what the law does. So if you want to build up your family, if you want to nurture your children, you need to look elsewhere. You need to look elsewhere. The Bible said, unless God sustain us and build our house, we cannot hold our house together. And so praise be to God who has sustained us as fathers, even though we stumble again and again, and to help us sustain our family together. And so if you need help, and we all do, how to hold our family together, to teach our children, we need to look to God for help. If you have your Bible, turn with me to James chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. The message today would be about the role of fathers and teachers, especially how we use our tongue. As parents, we use our tongue a lot. And so this is very helpful for us. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. We'll take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder where the pilot wants to go. Wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a whirl of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse man, who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Our Father in heaven, we struggle to teach our children and struggle to be husband to our wives. And we don't want to admit to people around us that that is so with us. But you know that it is so. Your words here that we just read teach us that we are stumble every day to teach our children. Like all men, we have no hope. So be looking toward you to teach us how to be fathers, to train us, to mate us, to transform us in your likeness so that we can give life, living words to our children and the people around us. Help us today as we come to study your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There are two points in this text that I want to talk about. The first point is that we are to listen to the words that come out of our mouth. We usually don't do that. And the text here really points to us that we are to listen to what come out of our mouth. The second point that I want to make is that you have no hope of better yourself as a father, as a mother, as a leader. We need transformation. That transformation can only happen through God. We need to commit ourselves to God, surrender ourselves to God, and be transformed from within. Those are the two points that I want to make today. The first point, listen to our words. Like you and like any man out there, I don't listen to my words. I prepare to preach every Sunday, but after I'm done preaching, I don't go back and listen. Unless my wife tells me, you need to listen to your message today because it has been hurtful. Then I dreadfully go back and listen to my message and learn from the hurtful words that I have spoken. I remember when my wife and I, we first get married, I spoke to her that she should listen to what she said as she prepared to be a mother and be a wife and all that. But things have changed. She has... Now I don't have a need to tell her to listen to what she said anymore, but the reverse is true. She's now telling me more often to listen to what I heard, what I said. So I think if that trajectory continues, I will be, the prospect is terrifying that I will be a grouchy grandfather. And I don't want that, but I think that trajectory is really bad for me. So this lesson is for me as well. James conceived of this problem when he started writing the book of James here, the letters here to the believers. Remember in chapter 1, verse 19, James said, quick to listen and slow to speak. That was the beginning of what he said. And I think he observed something very profound about the human heart. Because here in chapter 3, not so many verses after he said that, he is telling us to listen to what we are saying. If we listen to what we say, James said, the first thing you observe is that you stumble with your words. You have good intention. You want to say the right thing. You want to say words that are encouraging and uplifting, but the words that come out of your mouth are the other kind. It's the word that really put the other people down. And you stumble with that, and you are shameful of what you said. You know, we don't want to admit, but that is true. If we listen to what we said, we often go back and say, why did I say that? I thought I wanted to say something good, but I just bled out, and I got myself in trouble. And so the word that we spoke out of our mouth burned us much more than it burned other people out there. In verse 2, he said that your tongue speak words that reflect the whole person who you are. You know, and in verse 5, he said, if you speak of any word that is good, it's about yourself, it's boasting. We find it very easy to find fault in other people, and we don't find fault in ourselves. That is the heart of man. It's not you, but it's everyone on earth. We are able to find fault in other people. Very little things that they do wrong, we able to point them out and say, you did this, you did this, you know? And when we think about ourselves, we see the good things that is in us. More than that, in verse 6, James said that if you just listen to yourself, you will find out that you only reveal the foolishness that is in you. You speak more, you reveal more of who you are. Your words reveal who you are from within. And when you ever come to talk about other people in verse 8, 9, and 10, we hurt them. The words that come out of us are evil against the people around us. The words come out of our mouths is like deadly poison that we will kill the people that we talked about, you know. And in verse 9 and 10 it said, we curse people with our words. Now, then in verse 11 and 12, he said, then consider that all these words coming from a spring in you. It's like a world of water in you, and the water coming out of your mouth is bitter, is salty, that no one can drink, no one can enjoy. That is the heart. When you listen, first you said it is the tongue, but he ended up saying, no, it's not the tongue, it's really what is inside of you. James is talking about something similar to what the Lord Jesus have said in Matthew 15, that things that come out of you actually made you a bad person, defile who you are, made you unclean. So I should summarize what James said like this. We have no hope. We have no ability to control our tongue, to control our thoughts, even though we try. Okay, man has no hope of self-renewal, self-help books, or advice from other people. They help a little bit, but not much. They're like duct tape that we put on a leaking faucet. It might stop the leak a little bit, but it will come back again. That's just humanity. And so we can go back to Proverbs 17:28, where King Solomon said, if you want to appear to be wise, just stop talking. Because the more you talk, the more you just pour out how foolish you are to other people. So if you don't talk, you look much wiser. But I think that doesn't help. If you just stop talking, not change your heart, not change the way that you speak, not change who you are, So the psalmist in Psalm chapter 141 called on God and said, God, put a guard on my mouth and keep watch over my lips. The call there is really, God, I cannot help me. And so you need to help me. You need to come down and change me. So let me now go to the second part. We need change. We need transformation from within. This brings me to the story of the Israelites. They have been ransomed and delivered out of Egypt, and they crossed the Red Sea into the wilderness. And mere 3 days walking in the wilderness, they began to curse Moses. They began to say bad things to Moses. They began to say bad things against God. Imagine that. You have just been delivered from death, delivered from slavery, delivered from the hand of Pharaohs that mistreat you and your people for a couple hundred years. I mean, you just get out of that and just 3 days, just mere 3 days, and you forget all about what God has done. And then you open your mouth and the words that come out of your mouth is words that kill. That's exactly what the people of Israel had demonstrated to you and to me and to us. That's exactly is in the heart of man, in your heart and in my heart. If someone did good things to me, yeah, I remember a little bit, but as soon as I get into trouble, I get into difficult situations, I want to go back and say, yeah, you know. That's the human heart. And so God said, they come to a place called Marah, called bitter water, because they have been bitter just walking 3 days with God, and they already show the bitterness toward God and toward the servant of God. So they come to bitter water. God used that as a way to teach them that that's who they are. And they can't drink the water. That's in Marah. So God said, cut a tree and put it down on the water, and the water will be fresh and sweet, they can drink. Theologians look into that and they said that is pointing to the cross of Christ. That at one point in time, God is going to use a tree, and it's from the tree that people will be transformed and changed. And when God gives them, turned the bitter water into sweet water for them to drink, God said, if you obey me and do what I tell you to do, then I will heal you. What God is saying there is that the heart of man is not only bad and sick, it is evil. It is poison that will kill. That need to be transformed. That need to be changed. And only God can change it. Well, we have gone through the history of the Bible, and it's not until Ezekiel's time that God said they need a new heart. The people need a new heart. And also in Jeremiah and Ezekiel are in the same period of time, of the Babylonian time. And God said, the new heart will be given, but it will be given through the new covenant, not the old covenant. And so when Jesus came, Jesus said, this is my body is broken for you. On this cup, Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. So we see Jesus die on the cross. We see Jesus' broken body. We see Jesus establish the new covenant. And only through the new covenant then, that people will receive the new heart. Repentance and acceptance. Repent that you have a bad heart. accept that the new heart is given to you only through Jesus Christ. Those are the two ingredients, those are the two requirements for us to receive the new heart. Seeing ourselves in Christ's goodness, we come to hate the fact that whenever we open our mouth, we stumble and fall. We burn ourselves. Is that me? We stumble and fall, burn ourselves with our own words, and set the course of our lives on fire. We have seen our potentials and only other people's problems. We hate pointing fingers to other people. And when we come to that point, that is true repentance. But before you come to that point, you won't repent of your heart, of your desire for the new heart. And once you know that you hate yourself, you hate your heart, and only then would you be able to accept this gift of the new heart that God will give to you. Now, how do you know you receive a new heart? You receive a new heart through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that is in you. The Holy Spirit will come and give you self-control. You'll be able to control yourself and you will be patient. So quick to listen and slow to speak doesn't mean that you are not able to talk to other people. In fact, it really means that you'll be able to probe into other people's life and let them teach you and train you so that you come to know them and be able to listen to them more. Okay. What I have found in life is this, that when the Holy Spirit come and take you and lead you and guide you, then you are more patient to ask questions of the other person, to have more interest about the person that you are talking to. You can ask questions of where are you from, what happened in your life, and allow them to tell the story to you, and you'll be able to hear and be sympathetic to them, and have empathy about their conditions and so on and so forth. And you go out of that, you come to love them and you come to show mercy toward them. And that happens because that is when the Holy Spirit is in you. So you're not boasting about yourself. You're not boasting about things that you have done, but you have now a very keen interest toward the people that is around you, your children, your wife, your husband. That happens when the Holy Spirit come and take residence inside you. And pretty soon, then the people that you're surrounded with, and they hear that you are interested in them, and that you love them, and you have mercy toward them, they turn around and ask questions. Why are you so interested in me? Why are you paying attention to me? Why you listen to me? Why you love me? Why you show mercy to me? And that's when you'll be able to say, it is because God has loved me, and so now I love you back. And so the word that come out of you is redeem. God, the Holy Spirit of God working through you to redeem you so that your potential downfalls have now been transformed into living waters gushing out of your life into the people around you. So, let me conclude. For us to be good father, good mother, good leader in the church, we first must confess that our heart is corrupt and evil. The best of us is still sinful and crooked. We can't trust our best judgment. King Solomon say, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. The Bible also said that we cannot even trust our best judgment because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. We don't understand life until we know that the first person that we deceive is ourselves. You think you want to deceive your child, you want to deceive your mom, you want to deceive your brother, sister, your children, or whoever is out there. Before you deceive that person, you already deceive yourself. And you don't have any knowledge, any understanding that you first have deceived yourself. And your heart actually deceives you to believe that if you do this, then that person will do this and that, and that person will get hurt, that person will fall down, and I will take his money, and I will take his car, and this and that. That deception affects you first. And once your brain, your mind is being deceived, then you go out and deceive the other people. Without that understanding, we will not hate ourselves. We will not have true repentance. So true repentance really began here that I just deceive myself. Whatever word I use against other people, I just set myself on fire. And knowing that and accepting that, that is repentance. That's when you are ready to ask God to give you a new heart. Until you come to that point, you're not ready for a new heart. Point two, second thing, once you come to that point, you submit yourself to God and not only your heart but your mind to God and you said, God, I want a new heart. God doesn't give you a new heart right away. God gives you the word. God gives you a word from the Bible to live by. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the divisions of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrows, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God will come into you, and you listen to the word of God, and the word of God will say, this is bad, this is evil, this is poison, this is life. The word of God will discern that and will reveal that to you. And so you come to know yourself, yeah, that is me, and that need to be done away with. And you can pray to God to change each of those steps in your life. That's the second part. Then you find that the word of God comes and the Holy Spirit also comes. The Holy Spirit will come and train you to obey Jesus. And Jesus will say this to you, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. At that point, you will come to rest in Christ, and you will come to trust in Christ. And there is a complete humbleness in yourself to say, Lord Jesus, take me, lead me today, tomorrow, and every day you will rest. The Lord Jesus will take the anxious and worries of your life and remove them and give you peace. That's how you know that you have a new heart. That's how you know that you will be, that you will have hope and your children will have hope and that you'll be a good father and you'll be a good mother and you'll be a good husband and you'll be a good wife and you will be a believer not only in God the Father, but also in Jesus. So Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That's when you come to know that you already have a new heart. I want all of us here in this church to come to that point. God desired for all of us to come to that point, to know that we have a bad heart and we cannot help ourselves. We must depend on God to change us, to transform us. Let's stand and pray.